In fact, until we deal with them, to some degree, they control our lives. So we're all in need of recovery. We really are. In fact, life is about growth, isn't it? As a Christian, we know that life is about growth. You know what happens when Christians quit growing? We become religious. And what happens is we look like we should on the outside, but on the inside we get very empty and dry, and we just become a shell. Christianity, the challenge of Christianity is to keep going forward, keep growing, keep changing, keep allowing Jesus to be Lord of our life. You know, when you come and you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, He receives you based on that profession of faith. But very honestly, at that moment in reality in your life, He is not in control. Because you don't know how to let go. You don't know how to let go of stuff. We have embraced a lot of things in our lives before we came to Christ that we don't know the damage and the devastation that is done to us. In some people, it's more pronounced than in others. A lot of people are good at hiding things and burying things. You know, just because you bury something in your past doesn't mean that it goes away. It's like a seed that's planted in the ground of your heart. And sometime in your life, that seed is going to come up and it's going to produce something in your life that's going to cause you problems and difficulty and grief. So we need to learn how to move on. We need to learn how to get over stuff. And we have been talking about this for several weeks now. Today we're going to talk about, this is going to be a tough one, okay? Can I just say right up front, this is going to be tough. We're going to talk about repairing relationships. Every one of us has had damage done to us, and we have done damage to other people. So we're going to talk about repairing relationships. We have used recovery as an acronym, R-E-C-O-V-E-R-Y. And let's go over some of the things that we've talked about already. The R means I need to realize that I'm not God. Now that sounds so simple, and we've talked about this. We're going to talk about it again. I realize that I'm not God. Well, mentally we know that we're not God. But a lot of times we act like we are our own God. When you do things your way, you're being God in your life. When you think that you are in control. Now, in order to get control, we have to lose control. Because God wants to give us control of our life. Before you come to Christ, you're not in control of your life. You may think you are, and therein lies the problem. You think you're in control, but really, sin is in control of your life. You are up on the throne of your own life. And you may say, well, I know I'm not God, but you act like you're God because you keep doing things your way. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. We are good at destroying ourselves. The very thing many times that we try to preserve, we destroy. Because we don't know God's way. We have to discover God's way. And first of all, you have to realize that I'm not God. I am not God. The second thing is to earnestly believe that God exists. If I'm not God, then God must exist. And we must believe that He exists. But there's more to it than that. We have to believe that He cares about us. Now, one of the deceptions that the devil puts on people is, God doesn't love you. God loves everybody. Now, just because God loves you doesn't mean that He approves of you. Isn't that true? Sometimes we think that love means that we just approve of everything that somebody does. There's a lot of people I love that I don't approve of their lifestyles. I can love somebody without approving of them. But we must believe that God cares about us and that He has the power to change us. So you're not God. You don't have the power to change you. God exists. He cares about you. He's on your side. He's not your problem. And He's the one that has the power to bring the change in your life that you need. Then the C is consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ and care and control. This is where we come to faith. This is where we exercise faith. When we come to believe that, we say, okay, God, You've got the power. You care about me. I can't do it. You can do it. I'm giving it to You. It's a step of faith. It's an act of faith. We call it being saved, being born again. And let me say to you believers that are still dealing with issues in your life, which is all of you, unless you're just walking around numb-brained or something and just not dealing with stuff, we've all got issues to deal with. We constantly have to keep doing this in areas of our life that we don't have the control over that we need. So we have to continue to surrender. We have to choose to commit areas of our life to Him all the time. Because He loves you just like you are, but He loves you too much to leave you like you are. Now, He won't override your will. God will not make you do anything. Wednesday nights, I've been teaching on tithing and giving. I can't make you give, and God won't make you give. Okay? God doesn't make you do anything. God wants you to choose to do what you're supposed to do. God didn't make robots. Would you like for your wife to be a robot? Program. I love you. What can I do for you? We'd like that for a while. After a while, that'd get old, wouldn't it? No. I want Kathy to smooch on me because she wants to, not because she has to. We like for our spouses to do things with us because they want to, because they love us. Well, God could have made you a robot if He wanted to, but He didn't. He gave you a will to choose. You can choose to go to hell if you want to. You can choose to destroy your life, or you can choose to give your life to God and let Him work in it. This is what we have to learn to do, not only as sinners coming to Christ, but as the righteousness of God in Christ, the believers. We have to learn how to do this every day of our life. And that means that we constantly need to be changing because we're not there yet. Amen. Okay. Then we have to, the letter O, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to another person I trust. See, this is where it gets tough. Because a lot of times when we bury things, we don't feel like we can admit things. But where does it start? Notice where it starts. It starts with you first. You got to get real with you. Honesty starts with self-honesty. If you lie to yourself, I know you're going to lie to me. That's just the way it is. You have to get honest with yourself first. That means you have to look in the mirror. You have to look at stuff that you don't want to look at. You know why? Because it's controlling your life. And as long as it controls your life, you're not going anywhere. You're going to go down that path. The path of death. The path of destruction. You're not going to get well. You know, all of us as Christians, we would love to say, okay, I'm coming up. What I want you to do is just cast it out of me. Now you can cast devils out, but you can't cast habits out. You can't cast thought patterns out. They have to be renewed. They have to be healed. Or we want somebody to come up and lay hands on us and knock us in the floor and we get up and, yee-haw! I'm complete. Now, you might come up and get knocked in the floor and something good happened, but that don't mean that the deal is over with. You still have to do this other stuff that we're talking about. I want to be healed. I know God sets people free instantly of things, but there's still the thought processes that if you don't renew your mind will lead you right back into those patterns, those sinful patterns and sinful lifestyle that will bring you back into bondage. We need to be free. I said we need to be free. This side shouting, how about this side? We need to be free of some stuff. We need to be free of some attitudes. We need to be free of some prejudice. We need to be free of some stuff that keeps us back and keeps us down. God wants His people full of life. God wants His people full of His glory. Oh, I could get happy today. Come on. Okay, V. Oh, no. I got to admit it to myself. Then I have to admit it to God. Yeah, we might do that. But until you admit it to yourself, you can't admit it to God. After you admit it to God, here's the tough part. You have to admit it to someone else you trust. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You got to. You got to be. Not everybody. I don't believe that you ought to stand up in the congregation and tell all your sins. There'd be some people who'd like to hear some of those. They might like to try to manipulate. No. We're talking about... See, part of getting through stuff is getting things out of you. You may need an accountability partner. You may need someone to say, I need you to ask me about my internet practices. I need you to ask me about my temptations to drink. Or to do this. Or to do that. I need you to see, if you see prejudice rise up in me, to confront me with that. You need people that you can be accountable to. That you can get this stuff out of you. Because Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus come that we might have life and life more abundantly. Okay, today we're going to talk about, we need to evaluate all my relationships. Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. But this is tough stuff. The inventory that we talked about, looking in the mirror and coming real with yourself, getting real with God, getting somebody else involved in your recovery process. I sat in Celebrate Recovery the other night, and Robin Ramsey gave her testimony. It was quite shocking. But you know what it was for her? It was quite liberating. And it was liberating to her husband. She shared some things about her past. And that's one good thing about in Celebrate Recovery, it's a confidentiality thing. Kind of like counseling. You can talk about stuff that have bothered you. And there's something about coming real and coming clean about stuff that helps you get over that. But this next step says I've got to evaluate my relationships. Because there's instances where people have hurt me, and there's instances where I have hurt other people. And we've got to get this stuff right. Did you know that if someone has hurt me and I can't get over that, that person continues to control my life? They may be dead and in the grave, but they're still controlling my life because of the damage that they did to me. There may be other people that I have hurt that can't move on in their life because of the things that I've done to them. Now we're getting down where the rubber meets the road. Because this gets tough. It's easy to get saved. Did you know that? It's real easy to get saved. What's difficult is becoming Christ-like. You get saved that fast. It'll take you a long, long time to be like Jesus. Because you ain't like Him. You're not near close to what we need to be of Jesus. Okay. It says in Ephesians 4, 31 and 2, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It says, these things have got to go out of you. These things have got to be put behind you. These things will control you. See, if these things control you, you cannot say that God controls you. Are you with me? Are you listening to me? Oh, Jesus is my Lord, and you know I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're full of hate, no, He's not controlling your life. Hate is. If malice is in your heart, malice is in control of your life. If unforgiveness or bitterness or wrath or anger is in there, then Jesus is not in control. Anger is. Whatever that emotion is, whatever that negative emotion is, that is the thing that's controlling your life. You've got to be able to move past that stuff. Takes a while. It does. Okay, how do we do this? Part one. First of all, forgive those who hurt me. Has anybody here ever been hurt by somebody else? Come on, let's get real. Let's get on. Have you been hurt by somebody? Yeah, we've all been hurt by somebody else. We've all been hurt by somebody else. And it says that we are to forgive those who have hurt us. Why? Can't we just forget it? Can't we just hold it to ourselves and just move on? No, the problem is you can't move on. I did a sermon a few weeks ago called MoveOn.org. There's times that some things that we need able to just to move on, move past. Well, there's only one way you can do that, and that's God's way. You can't do it your way. You can't ignore it. You can't hide it. You can't bury it. You can't do anything. You've got to deal with it. One of the weapons of our warfare. You know the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know what one of those weapons is? Forgiveness. It's a weapon. Forgiveness is a powerful spiritual force. Do you know what? When God forgave you in Christ, that was a very powerful thing. When God forgave you in Christ Jesus, He was able to turn and make grace abound towards you. You know what grace is? It's God's willingness to use His power on your behalf even though you don't deserve it. When Jesus hung on the cross, when Jesus died, He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When He died on the cross, God looked at you and said, not guilty. As far as God's concerned, the sin was dealt with. So, well, why am I still goofed up? Because you haven't accepted that. If you've not made Jesus Lord and you die, you're going to hell with your sins paid for. Your sins are paid for. Price has been paid. There's not one other thing that God can do to pay for your sins. They're paid for. Your past, your present, your future, it's all been paid for. Well, what's this? You've got to accept it. And then you have to implement it God's way in your life so that you can move past. And that's why I'm saying that this wonderful thing that we have, this wonderful gift that God has given us, is the power of forgiveness. I've got to forgive those who hurt me. Why? Number one, because God has forgiven me. What spirit are you of? When you get born again, what spirit are you of? See, something wonderful happens when you make Jesus Lord. Your spirit gets born again. You have the spirit of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. You have the nature and the life of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. You may in your mind, you may think like a heathen. But in your heart, in your spirit, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a new creature in Christ. Something that never before existed. You're not renovated like an old mattress. You're not reupholstered like an old chair. You're the new deal. You ought to shout about that. Ooh! Old things are passed away. All things become new. Wow! You're a new creature. What spirit are you of? Is God a forgiving God? Absolutely. Therefore, if I'm born again, I have the ability to forgive. Let that soak in. Because some of you thought, I can't forgive. Then you need to examine your heart. Are you born again? If you're born again, there's a way. There's a way. God has forgiven me. I'm of that same spirit. I can forgive others. The Bible tells us, Colossians 3:13 in the Living Bible, never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you should. Are we going to argue? Should? You must. Is it optional? Kind of like the 10 suggestions? No, it's the 10 commandments, isn't it? This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. You must forgive others. Oh, but you don't know what they did to me. You must forgive others. I can't. You must forgive others. This is what it says, bottom line. This is what the Word says. Yeah, but. Quit being a billy goat. But. If God says it, then you need to realize what spirit you're of and that you can do these things. Number two, because resentment doesn't work. Resentment doesn't work. It works, but it works against you. If I resent you, who's got the problem? I've got the problem. Yeah, but you don't deserve to be forgiven. Do you deserve to be forgiven by God of your sins? You deserve to go to hell. You do not deserve to pass go, collect $200. You deserve to go straight to hell. That's where we deserve. That's what we should get. We didn't get what we deserved. We got grace. God, I want to say it again, God's willingness to use His power on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it. You don't deserve grace. You don't deserve anything that God does in your life. He did it because He loved you. And resentment don't work. It works against you. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do, it says in the book of Job. It's crazy to have resentment. It's just like putting a rattlesnake inside your coat. What would happen if you put a rattlesnake? I ain't doing that. Ooh, that gives me the willies just to think about that, Johnny. Put a rattlesnake inside your coat. You know what? When you hold resentment and unforgiveness in your heart, you're putting a snake inside your coat. What's that snake going to do? It's going to bite you. It's going to poison you. Resentment doesn't work. You'll never be Christ-like with resentment in your heart. Y'all squirming out there in radio land. Number three. Oh, here's some more scripture. It says you're only hurting yourself with your anger. That's what we do. We hurt ourselves with our anger. Job. Some men stay healthy till the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Isn't that a sad, sad thing? Have you ever known somebody who died with a bitter heart? That was the earmark of their life. They were full of bitterness. I want to go to my grave happy. I want to go to my grave free. I want to go to my grave with joy and peace. Amen. Number three. Because I will need forgiveness in the future. Who do we have here today who is perfect? Let me pray for that liar. Is anybody here today perfect? Dennis tried to raise Gail's hand. She's almost perfect. She's closer than he is. But no, none of us are perfect, are we? And there's going to be some time in our life that we're going to need forgiveness. Could be today. Probably would be. In fact, if you fall short, you need grace. And we do fall short, don't we? It says in Mark 11:25, when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins too. If you do not forgive, guess what? You are not forgiven. I don't know about you, but I don't want my sins retained. Do you? I don't want those things retained in my life. Then, if I'm going to receive, I must give. Isn't that one of the basic laws of God's kingdom? Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Why don't I sow forgiveness, and I'll receive forgiveness? If I sow bitterness, guess what I'm getting? More of it back. You know why some people struggle with recovery? I'm talking about drugs and alcohol now. See, some people think that drugs and alcohol is the primary problem. A lot of times it's the secondary problem. There are other things that led us to drink and drug. There are other things that lead us to overeat or overindulge or overshop or whatever it is, what we need help with. These are secondary things. And it may go back to unforgiveness. It may go back to bitterness. It could go back to some other things. And that's why we need help. That's why we need God's help in our life. How do I do the first part of this thing? How do I forgive those who hurt me? Number one, this is tough. First of all, I have to reveal my hurt. Make a list of those who've harmed me, what they said, thought, or what I thought they thought, and did. Make a list. A lot of times a counselor, when you go to a professional counselor, one of the things they'll ask you to do is make lists about things. You know why? Because that's what you're going to have to deal with. We need to make lists. Now these are not lists that we're going to hold against people. These are the things that we're going to try to get rid of in our lives. Because we need to be free. So I have to reveal my hurt. And that's the hard part. Number two, I have to release my offender. Mark 18:21-22. How many times should I pray, should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Jesus says, not seven times, but 70 times seven. You know what? Forgiveness has got to be the lifestyle of the believer. How many times do you think in your lifetime God has had to forgive you? Huh? How many times in your lifetime do you think that God probably has had to forgive you? How many times in this day do you think that God has had to forgive you? What if God kept count? And what if God had a limit? Reckon we would exceed the limit? Can you see what kind of spirit we're of? We have to be willing to release those who have offended us. Then we have to replace our hurt with God's peace. And let me tell you, God's peace is not just a warm feeling. Peace is a spiritual force. And it says, Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And the understood subject of that is you let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You let it do. You have to let it do that. Did you know peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. You know what a fruit of the Spirit is? That's what happened to you when you got born again. Your spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, faith, faithfulness. All of those things are in you. We just got to learn how to let them out. God's peace is available to you. It's part of your nature. And it says that we are to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Part two, we have to make amends to those I've hurt. Now that's tough. Our pride sometimes won't let us do certain things. You know, pride's a terrible thing. Pride takes many avenues. Pride may say, what would they think of me? That's pride. I don't care what they think of me. That's pride. Pride is in so many different... Pride is very selfish. Pride is very arrogant. It's so many different things. It takes humility to do some of these things that I'm talking about. We have to humble ourselves. You know the Bible says if we'll humble ourselves, that God will lift us up? Well, humble yourself in the sight of God, the Lord will lift you up. In fact, the Bible says that we have to humble ourselves, resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. You can't resist the devil if you're full of pride, because you're full of the same thing that he was full of. You need to realize, I'll say this again, you need to realize what spirit you're of. You're of his spirit. Okay, why do I have to make amends to those I've hurt? Hebrews 12:15 says, watch out that no bitterness takes root among you. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. The people that you hurt may have a root of bitterness in them that they can't get over until you go to them and say, I have wronged you. Will you forgive me? Now, then they'll have to say yes or no. But once you do that, guess what? You're free of that. Yeah, I just want to get my sins forgiven. I don't have to do that. Oh, maybe this is part of that. Yeah, that's hard. Being a Christian is not the easiest lifestyle. You know, the easiest lifestyle is do nothing. Just pray, oh Lord, bless me. And the Lord says, here's how I'm going to bless you. Make amends. Oh, I don't want to do that. I rebuke you, devil. I don't want to do that. Lord, bless me. No, here's how the blessing comes. We think God has a magic fairy wand sometimes. He'll tap us on the head, we'll fall on the floor, and we'll get up, and everything will be okay. It doesn't work that way. Or that somebody will cast it out of us. Now, demons do need to be cast out if they're demons. But you can't cast out lifestyles. These have to be overcome. And there's one way that God does that, and that's His way. Okay. How do I make amends to the people who I've hurt? Guess what? You do the same thing that you did with the people that hurt you. Make a list of those I've harmed and what I did. Make a list. See, this is about the inventory that we take of our lives. This is something that you have to set down, that you have to think about. And I'll give some of you a hint that are in these step groups. This is what you're going to be doing in this step group. I think this whole church should go through step studies. I don't have an alcohol problem. I ain't talking about your alcohol or your drugs. I'm talking about your attitude. I'm talking about your tood, brother. I'm talking about your tood, sister. There's a reason you got a tood sometimes. You got issues that need to be dealt with, but no. You can take this stuff and you can overcome anything. Make a list of those that I've harmed and what I did. Here again, we're talking about brutal honesty. I never will forget. It's amazing how, and Barth knows what I'm talking about. I had colon problems back in the 90s. And I was bleeding. I mean, I was just passing blood. And I went to the doctor, and they were going to do a colonoscopy on me. And I was swollen up so big they couldn't get the thing in there to look at me. So I had a week or two that I had to take drugs so my colon would go back to where they could get that scope in my colon. Now I know what... Okay? And you know what the devil tells you when you bleed out your colon? I didn't say the other. I said the colon. He tells you that you got cancer. It's amazing how honest you get when you think you might be dying. It's amazing when you think that you might have had a wrong attitude, how real and transparent that you get about that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Then you get past it and the walls go back up if you're not careful. I mean, we can get real when it comes down to dying or think we're dying. This is the kind of honesty that we need to talk about when we're looking at things that we've done to other people. We'll talk about making a list. Here's some of the things that where you might have hurt other people. Debt. You may have borrowed money from somebody, not repaid it. People get upset about money. Did you know that? People get upset about unpaid debt. Maybe a relative, maybe a friend. I know some folks need to hear this. Oh, can I say that? Okay, debts. Broken promises. Do you lie to your kids? You ever lie to your kids, tell them you take them somewhere, do something with them, and then lie? You've disappointed them. You may need to make amends. How about being over-possessive? How about being over-controlling? Did you know your job is not to control your spouse? Controlling is a sin, guys. Well, the Bible says submit. Yeah, but you only quoted half of it. It told you to die. It told you to lay down your life and die for your spouse, if that's what it took. Now, we've used that woman submit to make women do what we think they ought to do, and we do it in the name of the Lord, and the Lord's not in it. You women ought to be dancing in the aisle. It does tell you to submit. But it tells us to love like Jesus loved. When we love like Jesus loved, then I don't think submitting will be a problem. Okay. But controlling is not something you're supposed to do to your spouse. Women, don't control your husband. We don't do that yet. Well, sometimes you do. Sometimes you withhold stuff to get them to do things. Isn't that control? Woo! See, you thought you was going to slide by, didn't you? I said things. I didn't say what it was. It could be anything. It could be that too. That's control. Is anybody watching on the internet? I bet Ricky Jones is cackling like a hyena. We got seven people watching on the internet. Control. Control issues. They cause resentment. There's women who make their husbands resent them. There's husbands who make their wives resent them because of control issues. How about verbal abuse? Verbal abuse. You can do that to your kids. If you do that to your kids, you need to make amends. You need to get real. If you do that to your loved one, why is it when we get gripey, we gripe at our loved ones? You can be real nice to a stranger. Wow! to your spouse or to your kids. What's that? What's up with that? Why do you think you have the right to treat? Turn that phone off. To treat the people you love that way. That's probably Larry calling. Okay, that's a private joke. How about being hypercritical? When you've been hypercritical of someone, you've judged someone harshly. And you've been unkind and cruel. What about if you've been emotionally abusive? What about physically abusive? What about unfaithful? What about lying? See, it gets quiet when you preach like this, doesn't it? Oh, help us, Lord. What does the Bible say? Do unto others as you have them do unto you. So this is point two. Think how I would like others to make amends to me. This is how you're going to make amends. You think how that you would like someone else to make amends to you. You got to give some thought to this. You got to give some thought to this. There's three things to consider when you make amends. Number one, the right time. Timing needs to be right. Ecclesiastes 8 talks about timing. There's a right time and a right way to do everything. And there really is. There's a wrong time and a wrong way to do things. There's a right time. We need to do things in the right time. First of all, you need to have thought it through. You need to have, need to be thorough with your own self-inventory where you've hurt someone. Otherwise, you're liable to be in a deeper conflict. Then there needs to be the right attitude. The Bible tells us to speak the truth in love, in the spirit of love. And when you make restitution, you need to do it in the spirit of love. Not in a condescending way, not in a flippant way. It needs to be genuine and it needs to be real. And then need to ask ourselves, is it appropriate? We need to do it in an appropriate way. Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. We want our words to bring healing to the situations. Do you reckon that we've wronged people? Have you ever had to go to someone and confess wrong? I've had to do it with my kids. I've had to do it in several situations, and it's tough, it's humbling. And if I don't do it, I'm full of pride. But we need to be willing to do that, and we need to do it. But we need to do it in an appropriate way. Part three in this thing of what we're talking about today is I have to refocus my life. Once that I have let go of the people who have hurt me, once that I have gone and made restitution to the people that I've hurt, then I need to refocus my life. I need to put all that behind me. I need to put my shortcomings behind me. I need to put the things that were done to me behind me. And I need to refocus my life. I only know one way to do this. You're going to have to fill your heart with the Word of God. You're going to have to meditate on the promises of God. You're going to have to meditate on the healing scriptures. And then you're going to have to start thinking about, okay, God, this is behind me. Now, what's my purpose? As long as these things are in your life, you will never find your purpose. One reason that people go to their graves with their song unsung is because they never deal with the issues of their life. The things that were done to them and the things that they've done to others, they've never dealt with them. And they go to their graves with lives unfulfilled. That's a sad thing. They can't find it. They don't know what their purpose is because it's not time for their purpose because they haven't dealt with their issues. If they knew their purpose with what's in their heart, they would destroy their purpose. Because you can't do what you're supposed to do when you're full of anger or hurt or resentment. You can't minister. But let me tell you something. Usually the things that you've been through are the things, and overcome, are the things that God are going to use you in to help other people who are in the same thing to overcome. I've never had a divorce. I don't plan on it. If you've been through a divorce, you probably know how to talk to someone who is going through a divorce. I've never lost a child. Some of you have. If you've ever lost a child, God can turn that around and you can help someone else overcome this lost child. I've never been drunk in my life and I've never been high on drugs. I've never even seen marijuana in the wild. Sheltered life. I can't do what Jason's doing. Although I knew God wanted us to have an outreach in that area, I knew I couldn't do it. I can't do what the Celebrate Recovery people are doing. I can be a help. I can support. I can give oversight. But I don't know what a hangover's like. I don't know what it's like to come down. I wouldn't know meth if I saw it. I don't know if you smoke it, snort it, inject it, suppository. I don't know. I don't know how you use meth. Where's Aaron? I don't know. And I don't want to know. I woke you up, didn't I? Isn't that terrible? Isn't that just terrible to talk that way in church? I don't know. But if you're going to find your purpose, it's usually the things that you've overcome. I know about inferiority complexes. I have overcome and am overcoming one. I can help people through those issues. But not that other. Now, I know principles and I can talk about it, but I cannot emotionally connect. And I don't see the games that druggies play and alkies play. I don't know those games that they play. Jason sees through them. Crystal sees through them. I don't. I'm fooled by them. I believe, if you tell me, I usually believe it. People lie. I found out people lie sometimes. I'm not using drugs, liar. Let me say something. You know who you hurt when you lie? You hurt yourself. You don't hurt me. I'll get over it. I know how to cast that on the Lord and just move on. You lie, you hurt yourself. We lie to cover. And when you cover, you bury. When you bury, you set yourself up for a failure. Last scripture, then we're done. Job 11:13. Put your heart right. Reach out to God. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Wow! Wouldn't you like to see your painful memories fade away and not haunt you and hurt you? You'll still remember them, but there won't be any pain involved anymore. They don't have any control over you anymore. They don't move you anymore. They can't make you act in a certain way because you're free. Well, you know, we have to do it God's way. Let's pray. Prayer team, want you to come. We're going to open this area for prayer. For anything that you have in your life that you need to pray about. It may be an issue that we talked about in this service today. It may not be connected with this at all. You may need healing. You may need whatever it is that you need in your life. I don't care what it is. But the prayer team is here to pray with you today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. As I pray, you come. Father, so much we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can be free. Thank you that we don't have to be held in bondage by the things that have happened in our lives, the circumstances and the situations of this life. I bless you and I praise you in Jesus' name. I bless you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Come on, folks, come. Don't wait, come now. Those waiting to pray with you, please come now. Do not allow pride to hold you back. Something from God.